Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sparky. 5 for 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout, brought to you by Potawatomi Sportsbook. Bet on all your favorite sports 24-7. Enjoy over 70 self-service kiosks, wall-to-wall TVs, free parking, great food, and a full bar. Bet big, bet bold. Learn more at paysbig.com. Time to talk some Brewers baseball right now with the Milwaukee Brewers beat writer Kurt Hogue from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hogue. That's CYRTHOGG. How about the Brewers? Lots to talk about, especially since they signed a big fish in Rhys Hoskins, the first baseman from the Philadelphia Phillies. I certainly didn't expect it. What was your initial thoughts and reaction to it, Kurt?
On one hand, not a surprise at all. The fit makes tons of sense. The Brewers, more than almost anyone in the league, needed a first baseman. Rhys Hoskins was maybe the top first baseman on the market. Yep. And had a bit of a diminished market compared to what you would expect given his career production because of that ACL injury suffered last spring. So it kind of made sense as like a perfect opportunity for the Brewers to sneak in it. Felt a little bit like in 2019 when they swooped in and signed Moustakas and Grandal to those one-year deals when their markets were diminished. But on the other hand, the Brewers gave out a two-year deal worth, you know, up to $34 million if Hoskins doesn't take the opt-out. And that's never a guarantee with this club, giving out that high of an, you know, average annual value or giving out a multi-year deal. So a little bit of both, but I think in the end it just made a lot of sense.
How does he fit into American Family Field? Obviously, his numbers at American Family Field with the Phillies going against Brewers pitching are very good. But I feel like anytime you get a fly ball hitter inside that bandbox, things normally work out pretty good.
Yeah, I think people a lot of time talk about left-handed hitters can benefit at AmFam Field because of that short porch, the picnic area in right field. But the left field power alley, I think, is like left center is actually a bit more conducive for you're looking for a guy to slug some homers. Like there's some spots out there that are not that deep, like going into the Brewers bullpen. So hitters love hitting there. He's a guy who hits a ton of fly balls. And in the summer, we know a lot of times the ball just really, really carries at the park. So yeah, I mean, like signing any power hitter, it should come to fruition, come to play out well in Milwaukee. Now, of course, he's coming off the ACL injury. It's 2024, and you don't worry a ton about, you know, guys rehabbing that. It's kind of like Tommy John now to a degree. Like, you expect them to come back healthy. But we won't know until we see it in spring training and we see it in big league games how he's fully recovered.
And by all indications, he's a great clubhouse guy, good guy in the community. I mean, he was beloved in Philadelphia, so it seems like a good fit for the Brewers. Obviously, he slots right there into the middle of the order somewhere. Jackson Chourio signs that huge extension earlier in the offseason. And the assumption goes, well, he'll be starting somewhere for the Brewers on opening day. Do you think that assumption is correct? And if so, where is he starting?
I'm not assuming that he is going to be the starting center fielder. I think there's a very, very good chance that he wins the job. But the emphasis is going to be on him winning the job. He's got to come in ready to perform and you know, in great shape and fitting in the clubhouse and all these sorts of things, because they've got some talent out there. I mean, Garrett Mitchell's have been productive in the big leagues. You know, the Brewers have they're in a good spot where they can kind of move some guys around. Like Sal Frelick can play right field, so Joey Weimer could play somewhere. So it doesn't just have to be one guy winning one job out there, but you've got a lot of talent. And I don't think it is in the Brewers' best interest to walk into camp and, you look at Weimer and Frelick and Mitchell and say, this guy's a center fielder. Sorry, guys. At the end of the day, though, Jackson Chourio is incredibly talented, an uber prospect. And so it would make a lot of sense if he does end up winning the job. But I don't think it's a guarantee that he's in Milwaukee, or I should say New York, for opening day on March 30th. Although I think that would be my pick.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's talk about Jackson Chourio for a second before we get back to those other young outfielders. For those that have been living under a rock or maybe aren't on social media to see videos you've posted over the course of time, tell everybody kind of what this dude's all about and what he does well.
Just about everything. There's a reason the Brewers guaranteed him $80-something million. The thing that stands out most is, like, it's the bat speed. It's the electric power. He doesn't, strike you as your classic Reese Hoskins power hitter, yet there's no reason to think he doesn't have 20, 25 home runs in that profile at a minimum once he reaches his peak. And he can also play a really good center field. Like, he's only been playing the position for two or so years, but he's a plus athlete, really fast runner. It makes good contact. I mean, he's barely struck out in the second half of the season last year at Double A as a 19-year-old, once they switched from using these pre-tacked balls that had some wonky spin going on to the normal baseball. He just stopped striking out at Double A. So, yeah, it's everything. And it's the tools are really loud and really promising, and I think at the end of the day, that's why he's going to get 500 at bats, maybe 400, 500 at bats this year with the Brewers.
I'm just going to give everybody a little clue here that's listening to this. The fact that Kurt can't stop himself from laughing when talking about somebody is a very, very good sign of how good this kid is. That's all I'm going to say. He just keeps laughing and talking about how great he is. It's going to be fun to kind of see how this translates. Now, what about Joey Weimer? Is there a chance that he ends up in AAA to start the year and Frelick and Mitchell end up splitting time maybe in the outfield with Yelich in those other two spots, and Weimer works on his new swing or whatever they're working on in AAA for the time being?
Yeah, I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility. If you looked at all the four young outfielders or so between Mitchell, Frelick, Chourio, and Weimer, he's the guy that's probably most likely to start in AAA. But I do think there's a way that the Brewers can get all the young guys on the opening day roster. I think they'll all end up getting some good run this year, regardless of how. I'm one of the guys that's like always talking about the opening day roster, and then I forget. Joey Weimer wasn't on the opening day roster, but he was up on the second day and ended up being the starting center fielder. So I think they'll all end up making some large impact. But I do think out of all of those outfielders, Weimer was the one who maybe learned the most in his rookie year about how his game and how his skill set carries over to the big leagues, and learned that he has to make some adjustments. And now we'll see what those wind up being. Obviously, he's got a very unique style of hitting, and it's a delicate balance to walk of, you don't want the guy to lose who he is at the plate, but it was very clear from how big league pitchers attacked him in the second half that something's got to change. And just because of that need for adjustments, there's a chance he starts in AAA, especially if they want him to play every day. But there's also definitely, like, you can see an argument to putting him on the roster. He hit lefties really well, and he plays great defense.
He does indeed. Let's talk about a third base. The Brewers side, Christian Arroyo, utility-type infielder, nothing special. What about third base kind of going forward into this year? Do you think there's a free agent still to be signed to come in and plop in at third base, some type of veteran guy like a Hoskins that they could get for a one-year rental? Or are there other ideas here?
Yeah, the infield market this year in particular was not very hot. And now at this point, you know, unless you're going out and getting Matt Chapman, which I don't foresee the Brewers, you know, paying that price at this point, it's limited. And I think a guy like Christian Arroyo is sort of the deal that makes more sense. And since they have addressed it to a degree with his minor league signing, obviously with the, you know, chance to make a real chance to make the big league roster, it's not, you know, it's a little more than your regular minor league signings, but now that they've addressed it with that, I kind of feel like, get the feeling like this is going to be the group that they run in there. Now maybe someone pops up in a trade and they swing something for a third baseman, but between Monasterio giving Tyler Black a shot at third base, Christian Arroyo, Owen Miller's still on the roster hanging around, so it feels kind of like it'll be an open competition. See who picks it up, and this is why you go get Rhys Hoskins, because you had two huge question marks at the corners, and by addressing one of them with, you know, probably the best available bat on the market at the position, it makes your life a little easier when you're not, you know, having those two huge question marks, and you can kind of piece together third base with a variety of different options.
What about this rotation? Obviously, they decide to keep Corbin Burnes against my better wishes. And so they're going to go with Burnes, Peralta, Wade Miley. And then after that, what does it look like on the back end all the way to this, I guess, sixth pitcher that you know that'll see time?
Yeah. However you want to number it, you can number it. Colin Ray is going to be an innings eater for them for sure. He's on a guaranteed deal. Aaron Ashby, I think, is like the wild card for this team that nobody is talking about. If he's healthy and he's starting, there's some serious upside there that has not been tapped into yet. Now, these are huge question marks, like for, you know, a guy who has played, what, one full season in the big leagues and was hurt even during portions of that and missed all of last year. And you know how these arm injuries can be. So that's a big wild card for the Brewers that could swing things. I don't hear his name being brought up a lot. Robert Gasser is going to be in the mix come camp. Carlos Rodriguez will be in camp, but I don't foresee him getting a shot at the open day rotation.
What about Joe Ross? Is he a bullpen guy?
No, they intend on bringing Joe Ross in as a starter. I would not be surprised at all to see him get the number five starter. I think it's once we see how Ashby looks and hear the reports on how his health is, the whole picture will make a whole lot more sense. But until we get that, yeah, maybe I think it's probably fair to say Joe Ross will be the number five starter, even if I think maybe his pitch mix and profile is better, more or less like a Bryce Wilson type sort of guy.
What about back end of the bullpen? Obviously, it's Devin Williams. Is it Rebay your eighth inning guy, do you think, or no?
I think it's got to be Pyamps, right? I
mean, given Pyamps, yep.
No, Admir Uribe, you're taking bets to be the next closer after, you know, they inevitably do move Devin Williams at some point in the future. It's Admir Uribe. He's got the whole profile of a closer, including, you know, bouts of wildness. And there's going to be a huge role for Uribe this year, but it is unique to see a team have that elite of a bullpen last year and then bring every single guy back. I think their top eight relievers, maybe, are all back last year, all the way down to like Trevor McGill. So it should be a good group, but we never know with bullpens. That's the thing. Like, you can never just assume that because they were all good last year that they're all going to be good this year. Now, Devin Williams, I'll assume it, but everyone else is, that's the nature of relief pitching, man.
So if this team competes for a division, and I think that's what expectations probably are in that building, does that mean then that essentially they're going to let Adames and Burns walk at the end of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, see, that's an interesting reaction because...
Oh, I hate it.
I think that we, as like baseball people, have become conditioned to the Brewers and other small markets. Like, you can't let that happen. You can't let guys walk for nothing. And there's a fair argument to kind of do the Rays model of things. But the counterpoint to that is this. Think about the beginning of the offseason, right? There were reports like The Athletic was writing about how the Brewers were going to kind of blow it up. They were going to look toward the future and the prospects. And that made sense. But on the other hand, it's like you still have one last chance with Adames, with Burns, to have a crack at it. I mean, you've got really good borderline elite players at two of the most important positions. And so, you know what? Why not give it one last run? I thought maybe like last year or 2 years ago, throwing a few more finances at this team would have, you know, aided in making another run at it. Obviously, they did make a run in the end anyway, but it's just, I don't know. I do think it's a bit refreshing to see a small market team at the end of the day say, you know what, screw it. This might backfire on us, but we're going to give it a shot.
But this is the thing, okay? So if you're going to do this and you have Fielder and Braun and a team that legitimately can maybe have a crack at the World Series, okay, I guess. Because that, you know, a lot of that team was coming back anyhow after Fielder walked away. In this instance, more than likely, you're not going to re-sign Burns. You're not going to re-sign Adames. And then, regardless of whether or not Mark wants to do it or not, looking at that starting rotation, I don't see how they're not in a rebuild after this year if they don't get anything back for either one of those two.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I think it all would have depended on what your potential rebuild or potential return for like a Burns would be. I definitely think, you know, like it's not as if the Brewers didn't shop him at all or listen to offers on him. They set the price high to, you know, in terms of like, we need right now prospects that can help us win in 2024. That must not have happened. And then, you know, it's there's a risk. You've got a great farm system, but there's no guarantee that any of these guys are, you know, are good. That's just the reality of prospects. So 2025 could be positive for you. It's a wide range of outcomes, but it could also be really bad. Devin Williams probably won't be here
right. Either,
yep. If we're being honest. You know, I don't see the Brewers taking us closer to his last year of arbitration and paying him that when you could get a haul for him on the market. So, yeah, it's a risk that the Brewers are running, but you kind of look up and down the division and you look at their roster and you say, okay, by bringing Adames back, by bringing Burns back, by bringing Williams back, this team should probably win the division.
What about Pat Murphy? How different will things be with Pat Murphy running the show versus Craig Counsell?
Another good question. I wish I had a great answer for it. I do think for sure Murphy sees the game a little different. I know for a fact he communicates a little differently than Counsell, although we will see how it's a lot different when you slide over one seat. We saw it with the Bucks with Adrian Griffin. I'm not saying that's
let's not bring that up and ruin this interview, please.
Because look, it's a way different situation because Murphy already has great rapport with a lot of these players. But it is a different relationship, I think, is the point I'm trying to make. When you slide over to the big seat, now the relationships, like I said, are already in place. It should work out far better than the Buck situation, but we never know until he's in that spot. But like I said, there's rapport there. These guys know how to work together. The organization knows him. He knows the organization. So even though Murphy hasn't had a full time managing job at this level, like the Brewers know what they're getting, and it's a much safer and much more sensible position to be in my opinion.
Is Ricky Weeks the future manager after Murphy? Because that's what it feels like.
I guess we'll see. I mean, he hasn't been a bench coach either, so I think there's a lot of reasons to see Ricky Weeks as a potential manager.
He hasn't been in anything, coach, has he? Has he coached anywhere? No.
He's not really, no. like some consulting, and he's worked in the front office.
That's, right, yeah.
That's a big thing, too. Like, counsel hasn't coached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But be honest, when Ricky Weeks was a player, I don't remember, were you, no, you're probably too young. Were you interviewing Ricky Weeks back in the day?
No, I was not.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, from being at that clubhouse, when it was Fielder, Hart, and all those guys, you could have given me however many players you want me to guess at who would be a coach at some point. Ricky Weeks wouldn't have been on my top probably 15 list. I mean, to say that I was shocked when they named him not bench coach, but whatever goofy title they came up with him for, associate manager or whatever the hell it is.
I'm sorry. I said bench coach. He's not the bench coach.
So stupid. But either way, I was absolutely shocked that this is the role that they put him in and that he has aspirations to be a manager. Like, I just, in having a bunch of conversations with him over the years, I never thought that was a thing. Like, if you would have said J.J. Hardy, I'd have said, yeah, probably, right? Corey Hart never would have been on my list. No chance. Braun, you know, prior to the cheating, I would have said, I could probably see maybe Braun doing it. I could even have seen Prince doing it. But Weeks and Hart, those two, I never, ever, ever would have guessed either one of them would have gone down this path of coaching.
Well, you think about Weeks as like a player. He was a hard-nosed, gritty guy, and that's what he's going to be in this job. And it seems to be that when he was sort of on the player development front office side, like it sort of just clicked, and the Brewers really liked what they saw out of him. And that's going to be an interesting spot to be in, like as a bench coach. It's not often a position where you are tasked with like player development responsibilities to a large degree. And I think that might be one of Ricky Weeks' strengths, especially with some of the infielders.
Right.
So now it's, you know, we have not seen him as a coach, so we don't know how it's going to work. We don't know how him and Murphy are going to work together. That's a very important dynamic. You know, they're similar in their intensity. That's probably a good thing, but you never know when two intense folks that haven't worked together get together. But, you know, the Brewers are kind of going with the going with continuity. They're going with in-house. They're going with, okay, Craig Counsell, you wanted to leave. We will win without you. And we will see how it works out.
And I'm convinced that's the reason they didn't trade anybody. That it is Counsell left, to heck with you. We're going to win this division this year while you're in Chicago. And then after that, maybe we may do something. But I think that probably plays into it, too. Because Mark was clearly hacked off by that. I'm beyond mad about it. But I'm glad that they were able to at least keep, you know, their coaching staff together, especially Chris Hook, because I was fearful that was going to leave. He was going to leave, too. So I was happy about that. Kurt, thanks so much for coming on. We went way longer than I told you we were going to go. You can follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hoag. As well at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brewers beat writer. Thanks so much, man. Enjoy all your stuff. I especially enjoy what you get into doing the minor league stuff on social media. Always fun, too.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, Spark.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!